Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. That's right before the book of Daniel. It's in the Old Testament. And it's one of those books that sometimes doesn't get a lot of exposure. But I have not preached a sermon. I don't know if I've ever actually used this chapter for a text since the time I began preaching. I can't say for sure I haven't, but I don't recall. God's laid this message on my heart today, and you know, as we prepare for revival, I begin to think about some things. And I really feel that the Lord would have us take a close look at Ezekiel chapter 47. It's familiar to some Bible readers. It's where the water begins to come forth out of the temple, and there's a man that goes, Ezekiel goes to the ankles and to the knees and to the loins, and then there's water to swim in. This passage is really speaking of, and even the chapter before, it's really speaking of a new temple in a new time in a revived nation of Israel. Most scholars would agree that it is talking about a temple that will is yet to be built, and it will be there during the millennial reign of Christ. But I'm not going to preach it like that today, because I want to look at it from a church's point of view, and I want to spiritualize much of this, and I don't think it's a stretch, because I think it's there, and I think we'll see it as we get into this, and I think it all applies to our Christian walk. And you know, it's amazing, you know, again, as I said earlier, it is a blessing to open God's book and to get into God's word, isn't it? Amen. And to be in God's house. I mean, what an honor and what a blessing it is. And as we look at this, it's amazing to me to see Old Testament prophecies and Old Testament scriptures from long ago, and yet they're so relevant and so alive and so applicable to our lives today. And so that's the way I want to look at this, and I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 47, and I would ask you to keep your Bibles open. I'm not going to read an enormous amount, and I'm not even going to read the whole passage at once, but I'm going to begin in verse 1 and just show you a few things. But again, this is to most Bible readers fairly familiar, but you'll get it as we go. Notice now in verse 1, it says, "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." Now, the first thing that I want you to notice now, when he says house there, again, he's talking about a temple yet to be built. But we can understand as we read this that what this means for us is the house stands for God's presence. For in the temple, that's where God's presence would be. And from God's presence is what issues forth all the blessings of life. Amen? I mean, I'm going to tell you, the devil's never done anything for you today. And James tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes down from God out of heaven, the Father of lights. That's where every good thing comes from. So anything good in your life, it's there because God gave it to you. And so from the house, that stands for God's presence. That stands for what all that God has for us. It stands for, you know, every good and perfect gift, His blessings, all that He has. And that is where all the water will originate from. I read recently in Revelation, I just finished a study in Revelation. In Revelation 22 verse 1, John says he saw a clear crystal river coming forth from the throne of God. So that is where all this originates from. Notice also that he talks about a door. I think that all of us will agree there's only one door. Amen? And that door, according to Jesus' own words in John chapter 10 verse 9, is Jesus himself, for he said, "I am the door." There is only one way to get to all that God has for us. And it is not because we become religious. It is not because somehow we've become good enough. It is not because we've been born into the right traditional faith. It is because we have come through the door. And Jesus Christ is the door. He's the only way whereby we can experience all that God has for us. There's only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, and that is by the name of Jesus. So we have the house represents God and how he blesses us, where it comes from. The door is how we would get to those blessings. But there's one other thing that I want to point out to you. The last word in this verse is at the south side of the altar. Thank God for an altar. Thank God for altars. Hey, listen, they're not outdated. They're not old-fashioned. They're not, you know, they're not gone by the wayside. Altars today are just as important as they always were. And listen, Jesus is the door, but guess how we get to that door? By an old-fashioned altar. And what this represents to you and I is repentance. What this represents to you and I is you and I, and Paul says it like this, that we are to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That is how we get through the door. That is how we get to the blessings of God, when we have come by way of sacrifice. Not ours only, but the sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary. We could call that an altar as well. So we've got the beginnings of it. We're getting somewhere now. And I told Dale, like so often happens, this parallels the Sunday school message. And I love it when that happens. Now, this passage is filled with water, no pun intended. This whole, from verse 1 down through verse 12, it is just flowing with water. Now, I don't know about you, but I drink a lot of water. Now, I meet some people and they say, I hate water. I hope you're not one of those. Water's so good for you. And I drink a lot of water. I drink more water than anything. And water's so important, not only physically, but water in a spiritual sense is also very important. And this passage is absolutely filled with it. And what this water represents to us are those blessings, is all that God has for us. And we liken these to our spiritual walk, our salvation. And what this water represents to us, and again, just as in a physical sense we need water, in a spiritual sense we need the spiritual water that comes from Christ. And it means to you and I, it means cleansing. It means refreshing. Doesn't it? Isn't water refreshing? I'm hot. I could use a drink now. It represents joy unspeakable. Have you had joy unspeakable lately? Have you ever had joy unspeakable? I've been there. Listen, it's not something that we live with 24/7, but there are many times in the Christian walk where we experience a joy that we just are not able to describe. And it only comes in a relationship with Christ. It speaks of contentment that God brings. These are these waters. This is what God has for you. It speaks of assurance. It speaks of sanctification, that is, getting closer to God. It speaks of overcoming. You know, there's hardly anything that water can't overcome. I mean, just think about Katrina and all that water and how it wiped out a city. You know, there's water will ruin anything if it's there long enough, you know it. If a water drips on a piece of concrete, it'll put a hole in it. Just a drip of water. You never think that, would you? Water overcomes obstacles. And that's what it means for us as well. It speaks to us. Listen, it speaks of life, and it speaks of fruit inducing. And I want to read you a couple verses. Look in verse 9. Says, and it shall come to pass that everything that lives and moves and wheresoever the river shall come shall live. Man, listen. In Christ, there's life. In Jesus, there's not only life eternal. I'm counting on that, aren't you? But hey, listen, Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life. That is possessive now. That is in the present. He come that we might have it now. Hallelujah. You see, without Christ, you live below the life that God wants you to have. See, this water that God issues forth to us, it is life-giving. It is fruit-inducing. You cannot have a garden. You cannot have fruit if you don't have water, right? Now, this past summer, I'm told that my tomato plants didn't do, and I only had a few, and I hurt my back, and my garden just went downhill from there. But I didn't get very many tomatoes on the front end of my garden. I had a few tomato plants, and somebody told me that it rained too much. Well, listen, it might rain too much to ruin a garden here, but I'll tell you one thing. It'll never rain too much spiritually to ruin your day. Amen? I tell you, God will fill your cup anytime. If you'll lift it to him, he'll fill it. And the water, this water is fruit-inducing. And I want to give you a verse here in verse 12. I told you to keep your Bible open. Verse 12 says, "And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months." So this water that comes forth from the house and flows out of the east toward every place, listen, it is fruit inducing. We can have the fruit of the Spirit when we allow ourselves to just get in this water. And we're going to talk about that. This water is abundant. I mean, he gets to a place where he can't even cross over it. I want you to know today that there is a vast supply. We sung that song, the first song I asked Jared to sing, "Deeper, Deeper." I want to go deeper, don't you? And that's what I want to preach on today. Deeper, yet I pray. I want to go deeper with God. There is an abundant supply of all of God's blessings. Nobody would be left out. And I like what Dale said. You don't have to listen to somebody else's testimony or hear what God is doing in someone else's life. And you're sitting on the pew and you're going, "Man, why isn't he doing that in my life? Why am I not experiencing?" Listen, it's there for you. God doesn't love somebody up on the front pew more than he loves somebody on the back pew. God loves you. And God has an abundant supply. Listen, Jesus himself said in John chapter 7, remember that? It was the last day of the feast. In verse 37, Jesus said, "Anyone that is athirst, come unto me and drink. For as the scripture says, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen? Hey, listen, you know, you ever hear that saying, "Go big or go home"? Let me tell you, God originated that. God doesn't do anything small. When he saves you in a big way. He saves all of you. And when God blesses you, he blesses you in a big way. I was on the phone with my son-in-law yesterday. Listen, God can bless you anywhere, anytime. I was talking to my son-in-law, Joe, yesterday, and we got to talking about some spiritual things. And I said, "Man, I got glory bumps. I'm telling you, God can bless you if you let him. He's not a respecter of person. There's an abundant supply. So don't sit around and wonder why you're not being blessed. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to change so that you can experience too all that God has for you. Now, I want you to get this now because this is important. This whole narrative speaks of progression. All right? Now, I want to point this out to you, and I want to read just a few words and a few verses. It's progressive. Because he gets deeper. In other words, there's growth in Ezekiel's life. And that's what I'm calling it. Notice in verse, very third word, he says, "Afterward he brought me." That's movement. In verse 2, he says, "Then brought he me out of the way." Brought me out again. In verse 4, he says, "And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through." There's movement here. There's progression. And here's what I want to tell you. Now get this. The Christian life is a life of growth. And that's what I want to focus on. The Christian life is a life of growth. Can I get a witness? Hey, I'm telling you, God saved us for us to grow in our walk and in the faith. That's what he desires for us. But the problem is a lot of Christians that were professing Christians, I might say, and a lot of, you know, Christians that have you know, kind of been in it for a little while, they're not doing the things that will induce them to grow. I want to tell you, everything is there. You know, if you're going to have a good garden, you gotta till it, you gotta fertilize it, you gotta plant the seeds, you gotta water it, you gotta pull the weeds. Everything needed for you to grow is provided, and most of it's provided through your local church. Amen. But you gotta put the work in. Listen. If there's no movement, if there's no growth in your life, you'll know it. I believe that growth is measurable. Do you? He measures it right here. Notice in verse 3, it says, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth east, he measured 1,000 cubits. That's a third of a mile. He had a tape measure in his hand. He had a line. Not like we would think of it, but you and I can think in those terms. You know, guys, you got a tape measure in your toolbox. Ezekiel says, he took me out and he measured 1,000 cubits. He laid down, he had a really long tape measure, and he measured out a third of a mile. Let me tell you something, that's measurable growth. And when you're growing in your life, do you know, you'll know before anybody that God is doing something in your life, right? You'll know that he is. And I want to ask you this, and I want you to reflect on this for a moment. Are you growing? What's God doing in your life lately? What's he doing in your life? Have you had any thoughts recently that this is what God's doing in my life? And I want to do this, and maybe I need to work on this, and there, this is an area I need to grow. If you never have any of those kinds of thoughts, it's probably because you haven't stopped your mind long enough off things that would kind of take you away to really think about your own spiritual walk with the Lord. Listen, growth, we're going to be the first ones to know. And if you're growing in the Lord, you'll know it. And by contrast, if you're not growing in the Lord, you'll know that too. And you know in your heart of hearts that you need to grow, that you need to do some things that will help you to grow. Listen, he had this line, he's measuring it, so growth is measurable. But not only is it measurable to our own selves, it is measurable to others. Now here's where it gets sticky, you know, because we always, you know, we can't be judgmental. No, we can't. But the truth of the matter is, and I've said it to many people here, many guys I may have breakfast with them now and then, and I say to them, I see God working in your life. I was talking to a guy this week, and I said, I see God, he's here this morning, I see God working in your life. God's doing something in your life. I see the fruit of it. I see your commitment to him. I see where you were and how you used to be and where you're at now. Growth is measurable. It's not some arbitrary thing that we can't put our finger on. It's not some generic word that we just throw out there in church. Growth is real. And spiritual growth is measurable in your own life, by your own self, and by those around you. And if you're not growing, my friend, listen, you need to do the things that will help you to grow. Now, how is it measured? He uses a line there. He stretches out this line. Now, that line to you and I, and this is very important that you understand this, that line to you and I stands for this right here, the Word of God. This is God's measuring stick, right? And listen, we must have our lives conform to what this book says. We don't get into a passage and go, I really don't like that, and change it so that your life will now line up with what you put there. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is the line, the measuring stick, the plumb line of God's word. And when we align our lives with this book, how are we measuring up? Listen, from Genesis to Revelation, there are things that God wants us to do. God wants us to grow. He absolutely wants us to grow. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15. Just a couple segments of each of them. That you no longer be just children, but that you grow up in him in all things. 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to know both good and evil. The Bible, all through Old and New Testament alike, speaks of a time in our lives that we need to grow. And can I tell you something? And I said it earlier, I need the Word of God. I've been preaching, well, since 86, so 28 years. Wow. 28 years I've been preaching. And I've read the book from cover to cover more than once. And I've studied it and I've took classes on it. And I'm telling you, I need it still. I need this book. I need the preaching. I need the teaching. I need the company of God's people. I need that. You will never get to the place where you can say, man, I'm here, I've learned. You will never get to that place. The Christian life is measurable in our growth, and it is the Word of God that and I'll tell you what, when you take a tape measure, guess what you do? If I hand it to Billy, here's what I do. I give him one in, and I stretch it out. The Word of God will stretch us. We need to get stretched sometimes. You ever go to the doctor and he says, you know, if you'd stretch a little bit, you'd probably feel better. Or have you ever tried it? Well, sometimes, you know, just if your back's not hurting, sometimes just bending over and touching your toes just kind of loosens you up a little bit. There are exercises that we can do. Just the Word of God stretches us. And guess what? God, in this passage of Scripture, it says the man. It doesn't say the Lord. It doesn't say an angel. It says the man had a line in his hand. Guess what? The man this morning stood here and taught Sunday school. And guess what Sunday school does? Sunday school takes the Word of God and he teaches it and it stretches you. And the Word of God preached stretches us. And guess what happens when we stretch those muscles? They work better. And when we allow God to stretch us a little bit with the Word of God and get out of our comfort zone, guess what? We feel better. And we work better for Him. We need to get stretched sometimes, but we're so comfortable on the couch or on the pew. You see, the Word of God stretches us. And the Bible said it like this. Listen now up here. Bible said this, that you be transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that you be, wake up now, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is your mind renewed? Your mind is renewed by the stretching of God's Word. Right? Hey, this is good stuff now, I'm telling you. So, it's measurable. So let me give you the measurements, okay? It's 2 minutes to 12. You're not getting out of here at 12. I'm going to tell you that right now. Settle it, okay? Dinner's going to be just a few minutes later. I am not done. Because I got three measurements I want to give you. Or maybe four. Number one is the ankles. Notice what it says. It says he brought me out in verse 3. He showed me this water. He stretched that line out in verse 3. And he said he brought me through the waters and the waters to the ankles. Real quick now. I'm going to hurry, I promise. But I'm going to get it out. You see, the first measurement is ankle Christianity. The waters, oh, this is good. I might have to shout a little bit. I'm glad I'm feeling good. I might run too. Hey, listen. The water were to the ankles. And now what this is to you and I, this is a starting point. This is a beginning, but it's only a beginning. You see, this stands for our initial commitment to God. That's really what it should be. Just now getting saved, just now getting born again. And so I've started out. You got to start somewhere, right? When you step into the ocean, when you dive in, you kind of got to step in at first, right around the ankle. But I want to tell you something. Adults do not hang around wading pools unless they have little tops. I don't know when our kids are grown, so when we went to Virginia Beach last year, we didn't go this year. When we went to Virginia Beach last year, I didn't hang around wading pools. I didn't have to anymore. The adults don't go to wading pools, get in and go, woo, man, this is refreshing. You know, and wade around with their ankles. They don't do that. You want to get refreshed, man, you got to get in deeper. Deeper, deeper. But here's the problem. So many Christians that have been saved for a while, they hang around the edge and they're wading around and they're not going any deeper with God. Let me tell you what ankle Christianity does. Hang on now. Ankle Christianity keeps you in full control. Oh, it's just around the ankles. Man, I can get out real quick if I want to. It's just got a hold of my ankle so I can walk. And something else. Ankle Christianity keeps you in touch with what's going on the shore. Amen? I notice when I go to the ocean, if I hang around just the edge, I can still play catch or something with you know, one of the kids. I can sit, you know, they can be on the beach, I can still catch it, because I can still be involved in what's going on the shore. It's hard to do that the deeper you get. See, here's the thing, it's okay as a starting point, as just the beginning. But listen, it's not okay when we live our Christian lives always hanging around the edge of ankle Christianity. We haven't gotten any deeper with God. Here's what happens. You see, when just your ankles are covered,
a whole lot of your flesh is showing. And so a lot of times we begin to let ourselves be ruled by the flesh. When you constantly allow yourself to be involved in what's going on the shore, guess what happens? Those things that God saved you from begin to pull you back again. They begin to weigh on you. They begin to pull on you. The tongue becomes loose. The temper becomes quicker. The allures of what you left behind when you got saved, now all of a sudden they're pulling you back again because you're only in ankle deep. Amen? Now, I'll tell you something. Ankle Christians are very shallow on their commitments. Ankle Christians are very shallow on their worship and praise. Ankle Christians are very shallow on their giving. Ankle Christians are very shallow on their commitment to what's going on as far as supporting and working. Let me tell you, it's time to go deeper. Time to go deeper. That's good preaching. And I'm going to tell you something else I know. See if you ever saw it. When you're walking around the edge of the pool, you know what that does? It kicks up the mud. You ever notice that? Even in the ocean, if you're walking around the edge, you step in that sand, it just a puff of mud. A lot of times, ankle Christians like to steer up the mud. Ouch. See, ankle Christians sometimes murmur about the music's too loud, the music's too modern, the preacher's too loud, the preacher's too long, pews are too hard, the light's too dim, church is too cold. You get the picture, right? Hey, listen, there ain't no sense in complaining. Just say, thank God we got a good place to come and worship, and you got a fantastic pastor, and hallelujah! Amen! Ankle Christianity, it'll get you in trouble. It's just a starting point. It's not where we want to hang around. Adults don't hang around the wading pool. All right, number two. We're going to get the knees now. Oh, this is good. Verse 4, and he measured another third of a mile, and he brought me through the waters, and they were to the knees. We're getting somewhere now. See, we're getting a little deeper now, and we've covered a very important portion of our body, and that is our knees. And you know where I'm going with this, right? Here's what I thought about this morning. I read over there in Matthew chapter 26, I believe it was, where Jesus went a little bit farther. It said, he told his disciples, he said, would you watch 1 hour with me here? Watch and pray. And it says, Jesus went. Now listen to what it says. Jesus went a little bit further and he fell on his face and he prayed. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you fell on your face and prayed? Jesus fell on his face. He got down to business. The Son of God got on his face. And he said, oh, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine be done. Listen, how long has it been since you really got serious about your prayer life? You see, when our knees get covered, that stands for a little more humility in our life. And when our knees get covered, guess what? It's a little harder to walk around. You know, if you walk around the water up to your knees, you got to be a little bit more careful because it now begins to put a little bit of exertion on you. And it can make you fall. It can take control of you. So you got to be careful as you walk around in water up to your knees. Listen, church, if we do not have a vibrant prayer life, if we are not praying, I was so encouraged the other day. I love my dad, love my mom. And I always hear my dad praying. I popped in him unexpectedly in the evening the other day, and I was sitting there talking to my mom. She says, I don't know what your dad's doing. I thought he was taking a shower, you know, or something. So she goes down, she comes back up, she goes, he's praying. And I thought, man, we're going to have a good revival. Hey, listen, that's what it takes. People praying. How is your prayer life? Yeah, and when you pray, guess what? A little bit less of your flesh is exposed. Now, let's move on. I'm going to hurry, I promise. Verse 4 again at the end, he says, again, he measured another third of a mile, and he brought me through the waters, and they were to my loins. He's got it up to his waist now. Oh, can I just stop right here and say this? Less of me and more of him. Amen. Hey, listen, only half the body's showing now. Less of me and more of you, oh God, I pray. And I want to tell you, when he's got more of me, I'm better for him and for everybody.
Only half your body's showing now. And guess what? It's more difficult now to get through this water because it's beginning to control how you walk. It's got more of you now. And so it's difficult and less of your flesh is exposed. And it's harder and harder to move about the way you might want to because the water has a little bit more control over you. And you know what else? That halfway point covers a very sensitive area. That is the reproductive part. Now listen, guess what? When you begin to have more, when he has more of you and you're less of, he has more of you and you're less of yourself. I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean. Listen, you can now begin to reproduce yourself spiritually. You can now begin to reach out to others. Just like this man was showing Ezekiel how to go deeper in the blessings of God. You and I can begin to do the things that God wants us to do. But bless God, listen, halfway's not good enough. That is just halfway. And my dad told me when I was a little kid, he said, son, if you're going to do something, don't do it half. Do it all the way. Do it right. And I've always tried to, I believe that. And I want to tell you, halfway with God is not enough for me. He went all the way for me, amen. He went a little further and he went all the way to Calvary and died on an old cross so I could have life. And I want to go all the way with him. Amen. So we got the knees, we got the loins. But verse 5 said this. Afterward, he measured 1,000 more, another third of a mile. It was a river that I couldn't pass over, for the waters were risen waters to swim in. Oh, listen, jump in. Let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper with God. You see, when you get past the ankles and you get past the knees and you get past the loins and you jump in this thing, guess what? You now have to yield to the power of the water. Water is a powerful thing. And so now you are completely engulfed in God's presence and God's blessings and what He wants for your life. And now it's no longer as easy. Flesh isn't showing. You're not being ruled by the lust of the flesh. And you're giving yourselves to the things of God. And listen, you are now going deeper with God. And it affects every area of life. And I'm going to close with this. Here's what I want to tell you. See, I want to go deeper in my realization that Jesus loves me. God loves you. God loves me. I want to go deeper in that truth. You say, that's silly. No, that's theologically true. That's deep theology there. Jesus loves you. You say, I've been hearing that all my life. I'm glad it's true. And I want to bask in that for a minute. Because He loves me. He loves me. Listen, if I mess up later and I have to repent, He loves me anyway. He loves me unconditionally. I want to go deeper in the Word of God, don't you? Amen. Listen, some of you, you're still not convinced. You're not. I want to go deeper in the Word of God. Amen. Hey, listen, now if you said amen, you better start coming to Sunday school and coming to church more. If you're not, I don't have just a choir here this morning. I pick on them on Wednesday nights all the time. See, I want to go deeper in the Word of God. You'll never get to the place where you shouldn't study it. I want to go deeper in the assembly of God, this house. I want to be, listen, I want to, you know, there's church members don't have a clue what's going on in this church. Did you know that? I'd be ashamed of themselves. Don't have a clue. A church member never support the church and don't have one iota of a clue what's happening. Don't know we're having revival. Don't know if somebody got saved last week. Don't know if somebody's, they don't know if somebody's going to get baptized at the end of the month. Don't know about homecoming. Don't know about anything because they don't care. And yet they call themselves church members. And somehow you don't have all the benefits of that. That don't seem right to me. Does it you? All right. You can say amen or not. It ain't going to change my mind. I want to go deeper in my holy walk. Deeper in my walk with God. Listen. These are the things that matter. Closing with this thought. Let's get a song ready so they'll believe me. I was thinking, I was in Virginia Beach last year. I already used that illustration on him again, but the last day before we left, I finally got my wife out into the deep water. It was tough.
She was one of those shin leaders. She got in Pastor Tuttle's way. She got in, and I don't know, is it? Don't you think adults look foolish when they just stop here and go, oh. I mean, really. I mean, they look foolish when they don't roll it all the way. I finally got her into the deep water. Remember that? Really good day. Got her out there up to her throat in the ocean. You know, there's three kinds of people. There's those ankle waders at the ocean. There's them just standing in the ocean on the edge and go. And then there's that'll go in just a little bit deeper in their life. And they're waiting for a shark or a jellyfish again. You know. And then there's those that just dive in. And they get that salt water taste in their mouth and up their nose, and they come out smelling like a fish. It's dangerous, I know. There's sharks out there. I know there is. Not there, but out there. There's jellyfish. You can step on it. It's dangerous. I want to tell you, when you get in the water, it's rewarding. It feels so good to get in the ocean and get on one of your boogie boards and ride away back and then go back and do it again. Man, it's fun. Let me tell you something. Stop waiting around the edge. Go deeper. Amen. Will you receive it today? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to go deeper. That's where true life is lived. That's where fullness and joy and content are found. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.